You're listening to Life in Deep Ellum's podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you guys don't know, Muscle Memory is one of our community partners. They've been with us for, I don't know, 9 years maybe? And they're the reason we pick up chairs after every Sunday. It's because they rehearse in here every week. And so it's a beautiful reminder to me and all of us that our space isn't just for us. We share it with the community, and so grateful for you guys. And I want to say hey to all our kiddos. What's up, kiddos? Miles, Asher, what's up, dudes? You good? Good? Welcome. Welcome. If you're between the ages of 3 and 10, raise your hand. 3 is this many. 3 is this many. Yeah, Ben, false. Glad you're here. This is a family service, so it's my job to try and wrap my arms around all the various attention spans in here. So, what do you guys think? Think I can do it? I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna do my best. Well, if you need a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. Someone will bring you a Bible. Set a good example for your kids. Get a Bible. And we've been talking about hope again. So, I wonder if everyone can say this with me. Repeat it after me. Hope again. Let me hear the kids. Repeat after me. Hope again.
Hope again.
Decent. Decent. I'm going to need a little more diaphragm from you, but that's okay. Hope is one of those things. It's a tricky word. It's feeling. Is it a feeling? Is it a belief? As kids, the world is ripe with opportunity. But as we grow up, you know, we get a little grumpy, right? Icky things like reality set in. Grown-ups can be pretty much downers with their, you know, they can be so jaded, pessimistic, doubt, all these dumb things like facts. Who needs facts, right? Kids don't need facts. I saw a cartoon with someone flying and they were wearing a cape. That's all I need. I wrap a towel around my neck. I can jump off the sofa. We all know what's going to happen, right? I'm going to fly. But at some point, Peter Pan grows up and these views begin to shift and fall to the ground. It doesn't happen always like that, but hope slowly begins to fade. And at some point in life, we find ourselves without it. It's kind of part of the deal. Like, everyone loses hope at some point. So for me, the question isn't if one day a person will lose hope. Here's the question. If one day that person can find hope again. That's the question. Can that person find hope again? When I was in middle school, I watched a lot of TV. I guess you could call it screen time, but my screens had like antennas, right? Rabbit ears. And if you touched them, kids, they did nothing, right? You maybe got a little static electricity if you touched the screen, but that's about it. And you couldn't like watch whatever show you're in the mood for, right? If you wanted to watch Tool Time, but Family Matters was on, you just had to wait. Right, you just had to wait for it to come to you. And in those days, my life was filled with commercials. Right, that not like Netflix or Amazon Prime. No, I mean, it's just like commercials were a deep part of. They shaped a lot of who I am. They helped me develop robust and incredibly unrealistic lists for Santa. And one of the staple commercials I grew up watching was from the Energizer Bunny. You guys remember the Energizer Bunny? Any of you older folk, you're like, I kind of remember that. Do you remember him or her? I don't know what the gender is. It's pink, but what does that mean nowadays? I don't know. But here's an example of one of the commercials from 1993. Go ahead and roll that.
What is thy bidding, my master?
There is a great disturbance in the force. Get his battery.
All too easy. Perhaps you're not as strong as the Emperor thought. Impressive. If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Nothing outlasts the Energizer battery. battery. It keeps going and going and going.
Uh-huh. It's good stuff, right? 1993. Just a question. How many of you were not even born yet in 1993? Yeah. It's not your fault, but it makes me feel weird that you're all raising your hands right now. But I want to suggest to you guys that hope is a lot like that battery that's in the back of that bunny's back, nestled in there. So let's try a little feedback exercise. Everyone imagine a time when you felt hopeful, just hopeful that it was going to be a good day, hopeful that work was getting better, school was getting better, hopeful that your family was getting along, hopeful that your health was improving. You felt it. Now, give me some feedback. What word would you use to describe the feeling of hope? I'm sorry?
Ill.
All right, you'll be illing. All right, I love it. Positive movement. Anyone else?
Joy.
Peace.
Now?
Like present, in the present. Anyone else?
Relief.
That's a good one, too. Here's my favorite one. All those are good answers. Inspiration. To me, it feels like inspiration. Like it's something that motivates me to move forward, like a kid tying a towel around their neck. Maybe it'll work this time. I feel like re-energized. I can keep going and going and going. But what happens if we remove the battery? What happens if that's not there? It stops. It doesn't keep going. We find ourselves reaching into an empty fuel tank. No more movement, no more inspiration. And I want to argue that hope is the inspiring fuel that keeps us moving. Or as Emily Dickinson wrote in her poem, we heard it quoted, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." And for the follower of Jesus, this shows up in three important ways. So here are my 3 points. You guys ready for my 3 points? All right. Everyone repeat after me. The Holy Spirit inspires.
The Holy Spirit inspires.
Scripture inspires. And people inspire.
People.
But I'm going to qualify that. Friends inspire. So kids, grown-up teens, you guys ready for me to blow your minds? All right, so let's start with the Holy Spirit inspires. So the Holy Spirit, or if you're a little bit more old school, since we're close to Halloween, you might alternatively call it the Holy Ghost. It's just creepy. How many of you enjoyed our parade of costume kids last week? Yeah, that was super fun. We got all these kids coming out in their costumes, and super fun. When I grew up in a Pentecostal church. We did not do Halloween parties. We may sing, you know, we may dance, we may sing, but we don't do Halloween. That was kind of the little slogan I learned. We did hallelujah parties. It's clever. Little kind of twist on it. And you're supposed to show up dressed like Bible characters, and I remember that. And that's super boring, right? So we would just show up like whatever we were going as, and we'd kind of make an appearance at the party and then go trick-or-treating afterwards. Deacons would see me dressed like a pirate and say, "What Bible character are you?" I'd be like, "I'm the Apostle Paul." Arr! He was on a ship. He was shipwrecked once. But looking back, we should have just put sheets over whatever costume we had. Because there go the Triska boys. They're always the Holy Ghosts. Right? It's clever. It works. Pentecostal. What's more Pentecostal than being the Holy Ghost? Nothing is. That's the answer. But jokes aside, the Bible tells this fantastic story about how the Holy Spirit inspires. And in order for me to tell that, I'm going to invite up all our kids. If you are school age, like pre-K to fifth grade, I want you all to come up here and to incentivize you. And parents, for the young ones, if you feel like it would be best for all of us for you to also come up here, I want to invite you guys, wink, wink. All right, so come up here, sit down here. And I'm going to invite up a magician. Do you guys like magic?
Yeah.
That's my incentivization. Come up here. And I'm going to invite up our friend, Michael Vaughn. If you don't know, Michael not only shreds on the electric guitar, Michael's also a magician. He volunteered over at Scottish Rite for years. It's where he met Laura and then tricked her into marrying you because they're both so funny. He told me that fun. All right.
Yeah,
all right. So, kids, pay attention. See if you can figure out what the magician is doing.
Hey, guys. And this is, adults, you're going to figure this out. It's really easy. But I've come to do a quick magic trick and to help. Oh, Joel, thank you. He had this magic ball on his shoulder. You guys have seen this before, right?
No.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, here, feel how soft it is. See how soft it is? Right. So this magic ball does the weirdest thing. I put it in my hand and squeeze it, and it goes to my pocket. Is that weird?
I know what's happening.
Yeah, we know what's happening. It disappears and goes to my pocket. See how? Thank you.
Yeah.
See how soft it is? Just touch it. Pretty soft, right? Watch this real closely. If I get this ball, I can almost cut it in half. And now, I'll have two of them. Okay.
Whoa!
Great. All right, so now, these always want to be touching, right? So look, if I put one way over here and I put one way over here, you'll see it disappear and jump over there. Wow. Okay, now a magician never does the same trick twice, but this one is so good, I'm going to do it one more time. Here it goes. It jumps right over.
Ah.
So I'm going to come back and do some more here in a second, but thank you.
Give it up for Michael. Okay, guys, if you want to see more magic, you have to stay and listen to my story about the Bible. Okay. So, there's a story in the book of Genesis. Everyone say Genesis.
Genesis.
Okay. It's this great story. So, God's making the world. And this is before there were trees or bushes. Can you imagine? No trees, no bushes, just flat land. Can you think about that? Just flat. There was oxygen. That was there. That was, I need to be careful. I'm not really sure about the time frame of all that. All right, but anyway, the story goes, there's a flat land, and so God brings water up from the ground. Why would there need to be water?
So people could stay alive.
Yes, life. And not just people.
Animals.
Animals and? Dinosaurs, absolutely, for sure. And for people to drink.
Trees,
there's what I'm looking for. There were no plants or bushes yet, so we needed some water. So God made all these trees, all these bushes, and they started like sprouting up everywhere. But then God's like, I got all these trees and bushes. I need someone to take care of these. So here's what God does. He takes his big hands, starts pulling together all this dirt. Have you guys ever created a pile of dirt with your hands? Do you like to play in the mud?
Yeah.
Do your mommy and dad like you playing in the mud?
No.
Well, this is what God was doing. He's pulling together all this dirt, and he started forming it into the shape of a person. So he made the head, he made the arms, made the legs. But then it was just like laying there. Still, it wasn't doing anything. Here's where the magic happens. God does this thing where he breathe into the dirt. Everyone, take a big inhale. Now let it go. One more time. And he breathed into the dirt, and it came alive. There's another language called Hebrew, and the word is ruach. Can you guys pronounce that? Ruach. You have to add at the end a ruach. So that means breath, God's ruach. It also can mean spirit or wind. And so what God did is he breathed into this being, and out of that comes Adam and Eve, and then we have human beings who are brought to life with the breath of God, the spirit of God. Put your hands on your chest for me real quick. Take a big, deep breath. Now let it go. Did you guys feel your chest move at all? What's inside of that made that move?
Heart
is in there.
Air.
Air.
Lungs.
All of those are in there. And guess what? That breath is helping all of that function. And so have you ever been laying alone in your bed at night? And you think, I'm alone. No one is here. You felt that?
No.
But you're not alone.
Well, I know what to do.
Because there's, what do you do?
I
Go into your mom's room. So here's what I wanted to like teach you guys so that you can leave your parents and they can sleep. Inside of you, feel that again. Put your hands on your chest. Deep breath. You are never alone because inside of you is the Spirit of God. Just like God breathed into the dirt and made it come alive. That breath inside of all of us is the Ruach, the Spirit of God. Say it again, Ruach.
Ruach.
Isn't that cool?
Ruach.
Do you guys want to see another magic trick?
Yeah.
All right, come on, Michael.
Oh, thanks for having me back, guys. Okay, I'm actually going to need your help, Joel. So where was I? I had two magic balls, right? How many?
Two.
Exactly, right? What I'll do is I'll put these together. Joel, open your hand. Hold this as tight as you can. And I have number three. Now, one thing these things do, they get really small, right? So you can go, it gets cool. But look, if I get it really, really small. Oh, one second. Oh. Open your hand. All right. Okay, so you guys can help me count, right? So how many do we have now?
Three.
All right, so look, we got, okay, so we got one, two, and this one I'm going to put in my pocket. So how many? Three, exactly, right? Help. Okay, we got to count this out. Ready? One, two. This one goes in my pocket. Three, exactly, right? So we're going to keep doing this. One, two. This one comes in my pocket, right? Nothing comes out. How many?
Three.
Yeah, you guys are figuring this out, right? We're learning how to count. This is great. Okay, one, two. This one goes in my pocket. How many do we have?
Three.
Exactly. We don't have any. It's a magic trick. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, dude. All right, kids, you can go back to your seats. Come on, give it up for Michael again. So hopefully the grown-ups aren't too grown-up to get the point here. The Holy Spirit inspires us because we are all animated by the Spirit of God. That is the biblical narrative. God's breath is our breath. We have like an energizer battery, like built in, embedded into our very being. When we lose hope, here's the good news, we can hope again because the very source of hope resides inside of us. There is an immediate ability to tap into it. And I'm going to break a rule that I normally don't do, but I'm going to put a scripture verse up on the screen just this once. It's one of my favorites, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with a hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Which leads us to my second point. Scripture inspires. So we learned that the Holy Spirit inspires, right, kids? The Holy Spirit, say Ruach.
Ruach.
I heard that. That's good. Good job, kids. Now get the tissues out and clean up all the mucus, right? Mom and Dad. So for those who follow Jesus, we find that the scriptures inspire. Jesus is always quoting the scripture. Now, Jesus' Bible is the Old Testament because the New Testament had not been written yet. He spent much of his ministry quoting the Old Testament that he learned, read, memorized. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezra. Kids, tell your parents to turn to Ezra. There it is. If you don't know where it is, I learned a little song when I was a kid. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Anyone else? Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. So it's after all the 1st and 2nd, Samuels, Kings, Chronicles, then Ezra. And I'm going to read Ezra chapter 3. If you want to turn to Ezra chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. All right, so this is what's happening. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good, his love toward Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But Many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. Here's what's happening, guys. So the people in this story are returning from a place called Babylon. They were in exile. A generation before, Babylon came in and ransacked their home. A lot of people died. And then all the rest were marched off away from their home to a foreign land called Babylon. A generation later, many of them were allowed to return home. But what they found was their home was in ruins. Everything that wasn't even tied down was stolen. Buildings were burnt down. There was nothing. And they decided to rebuild. Hope. There's hope again. And so one of the things they did was they rebuilt the foundations of the temple. And when they did that, they had all the emotions. There were the people who were young, were like, this is awesome. We need a temple. It's better than nothing. So they shouted for joy. But then there were the older folks who had remembered Solomon's temple and all its glory with the gold and all of that stuff. And they're like, this is nothing like what it used to be. And they wept. They were so sad. And scripture says they were such a great sound. No one could distinguish the sounds of cheering from the sounds of crying. So I want to try and do something. I wonder if we can create this here in this room. Here's the dividing line. You guys, you're my happy folk. Okay? So I'm wondering, on the count of three, if you guys can give me happy sounds, like cheering, clapping, yelling, just in general, euphoria. All right? So on the count of three, give me a nice, I want people on the podcast to hear this, okay? One, two, three. Good, good. You're my sad folk. And not just like sad. I'm talking like emotional turmoil, like weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, whatever that means. I'm not sure. But I'm wondering if you can create a sound that our podcasters, they will feel it in their soul when they hear you're weeping and you're crying. Can you guys do this for me? On the count of three. One, two, three. Good. Now, here's where the magic happens. It's the PBJ, the peanut butter and jelly come together. Okay? We're going to bring the happy and the sad, the cries of joy and the cries of mourning. On the count of three. One, two, three. And people heard that from a very long ways away. Now, we're not really sure of the timing, but there was the discovery of the law. This might have happened right before the building of the foundation of the temple or after. But apparently for like a generation, they didn't have what's called the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. They were missing the law. And they rediscovered it. And they brought it back out for everyone to read. Now, most people couldn't read back then, so they had someone read it to them aloud. And as the story goes, people were fully engaged. They were all attentive. Because they all believed the reason that they were in exile is because they weren't following God's law. And they needed to hear this. They needed to follow it. And so they read it aloud, and people began to cry. Because the power of God's words were so powerful, and they felt it. And I want to read a little bit about what happened next. If you want to turn next to Nehemiah, another book, it's right next to Ezra. Nehemiah and Ezra were kind of contemporaries. Both of these books tell different versions of similar events. Nehemiah chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, And the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice foods and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many have ever heard that verse? That's where it's tucked in right there. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's tucked in there in the book of Nehemiah. Stop crying. Get some good food. Get some good drinks. In other words, let's have a party. And start rejoicing instead. And when I was a kid, our church talked a lot about memorizing scripture verses. Anyone grew up in a church where you did Bible memory verses, right? I thought we'd bring that back into fashion a bit, and we can all memorize a verse together. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Do not, like adults, join with me, okay? Like, don't be too cool for school. We're going to do some motions, especially for our kinesthetic learners. All right, so do not grieve. Everyone do that with me. Do not grieve. All right. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. All right, let's try it again. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. All right, good. You have that now. Stick it in your back pocket. You can pull that out whenever you want, or in your left bra strap, where I know some of you moms are keeping your iPhones, right? You know who you are. But you have this. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's one of these, the scriptures bring that kind of life. There's something happening there when we engage it as sacred text. So, third one, we have the Holy Spirit inspires, we have scripture inspires, and lastly, friends inspire. How many of you got some good friends? Kids, you got some good friends? Yeah. Growing up, I had all kinds of friends. I had friends at school, friends on my baseball team, friends at church. I had friends that, you know, I'd say hi at school. Other friends, I was close enough, we could spend the night at each other's houses. I didn't really have a best friend until I was 17. His name is Benji. And all these different friends had various roles to play. Not everyone inspired me all the time, but some of them just inspired me at the right time. They brought the right messages, the right encouragement. And it makes me think of the Sequoia National Park, where I visited earlier this year. These aren't only some of the largest trees on the planet. These are some of the largest organisms. Some of these trees have more mass than a blue whale. Just let your mind chew on that. Some of these trees have more mass than a blue whale. But what's interesting is that while these massive trees look so enormous, they have comparatively shallow roots. They may grow 300 feet tall, but the roots only go 12 to 14 feet deep. How do they stay up? Some of them don't. When I was there, there were many that had fallen over. Forest fires, storms, especially when you have hard winters, and they fall over and they die. But many of them stay strong and upright, and the reason why is because they grow in groves. The roots, instead of going deep, go out, and they interconnect with other trees around them, and they interlock like people linking arms. It's just really hard to push over. And Rachel once told me about a game she would play at sleepovers when she was a teenager. Her friends would all lay down on their backs, right? And one kid would put their head on another girl's stomach, and then they fall around until they're like in one big circle, all laying with their heads on the other girl's stomach. And the game was this: one girl would say "ha," and then the girl who felt that reverberation would go "ha ha." And they would keep trying to do that, and the first one to start laughing lost. Ha, 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 ha. Giggle, 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 giggle. You know, and it just would erupt into just giggling as they all just were connected in this weird game that they would do. So maybe the person sitting next to you isn't your bestie, right? Maybe they're only an acquaintance, but that doesn't mean that they don't have the power to inspire you, to hold you up when storms come round, to keep you going when the forest is on fire, to give you a shot of laughter when you most need it. And there's a reason the Bible calls us the body of Christ, because though we don't often see it, we are connected. I grew up, we would call people brother and sister, and it was always just kind of like a little formality, but I think about that, it's like, it's such a spiritual truth. We're brothers and sisters, we're family. There's something even deeper than biology that's connecting us. And yeah, we can choose to be disconnected. Yeah, we can choose to isolate and stiff-arm people. But that is a one-way ticket to despair and loneliness. We need each other. And in 2016, the immortal movie Trolls was released to the public. Kids, you guys know this movie? All right, it's a good one. Me and the family went to watch it, and as I suspected, it was lighthearted, fun music, hilarious. But if you guys don't know, I can be a bit of a softie when it comes to movies. So like every now and again, we'll be watching a movie and my daughter Sayla will look over at me, "Dad, are you crying?" And yeah, there was a scene in Trolls where I shed one tear, just one. Everybody's like man tear, like strong man tear. It was at the very end where all the trolls, the normal happy-go-lucky Poppy who wants to save the world with her scrapbooking skills, and she's positive about everything, and they all lose hope. They're in this kettle where they're about to be eaten. And all these bright, vivid trolls lose their color. And then there's Branch, the pessimistic troll. He lost his color years ago when he watched his grandmother murdered in front of his eyes. Yeah, this is a kid's movie, okay? And since then, he never sang again. Branch lost his color, but it was his character that stepped up to the plate. And as only Justin Timberlake can do, he sang the words to bring hope back into the community. "You with those sad eyes, don't be discouraged. Oh, I realize it's hard to take courage. In a world full of people, you can lose sight of it all. The darkness inside you can make you feel so small." The song True Colors is not about shallow distinctions that set us apart from other people, like how tall someone is or how short someone is or how athletic someone is or how bookish or whatever dumb labels we tend to put on people and on ourselves. I think our true colors are deeply connected to Ruach, the Spirit of God. It's inside of all of us, dwelling inside of all of us. And sometimes we just need our friends to call it out of us. You know what I mean? "Tom, you got some Ruach, bro. You need to let it shine. Chad, your Ruach makes this community better. Carolini, we need your Ruach. And we need people around us who know us deeply to say, show up. I see you. Show up." Go ahead and stand with me. One of my goals was to keep this very short for the kids. When? I did it. When we feel hope, I think it feels like inspiration. Feels like an energizer battery stuffed into my back and just helps me keep going and going and going. And we all need it. Guys, it's not like fluffy little, stuff you read on Hallmark cards. Hope is something gritty. Hope shows up in the darkest of darkest places. So don't forget my 3 points. What's the first thing that inspires us? The Holy Spirit. The second thing that inspires us is Scripture. And the third is? All right, turn to someone, give them the hug, give them the high five. Say, you inspire me. Yeah. Thanks, Pops. All right. So now to him who's able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, power, majesty, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, now and forevermore, throughout all the ages. And we all say, amen. All right. Love you guys. Have a great day.